Tisseline Marie. Many of you already know her. You know, she came here, she was attending church maybe for 1-2 months when you were
couple of months
when she was recovering from something she had to do. She will share that with you.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Pastor Delson for letting me come. I'm so I think the word I can think of is honored, because I don't take it lightly, because you know, the Bible talks about, like, you know, not many of you should become teachers. Not many of you, you know, take it. It's not just like a light thing. But this is literally holy ground. And so I'm just honored, you know, that you always have you're such a pastor's heart. Like, a pastor doesn't just, you know, have his own agenda going around making his own ministry. A pastor is like a shepherd, an under-shepherd, and he has a heart for the sheep, and he wants to pull the gold out of the sheep. He wants to equip the sheep and literally wake up the bride and equip her and send her in her identity and strengthen her. And I've been to a lot of churches, and I've never met a pastor like Pastor Delson that has so encouraged me individually. Even when I wasn't even here tithing anymore, he was still encouraging me and sending me messages. Pastor Patricia also, like, they have such a spirit of encouragement that is, like, that's what love is. Love sees the best in people. It rejoices when truth prevails. It's love, right? And I just, and even being here in the church, while I was here in the area, I was here for a couple of months, and not just the head of the church, like you guys leading, but also the church family. Like, I remember you. I remember all you guys giving me encouragement. You were telling me to smile. It's Jesus and all these things, and just encouraging me to do works. And that's what it means to come together, to encourage each other to love and to good works. And so I remember just sharing a little testimony, and it's not just dependent on the person sharing the word. We are all one body, and we come together, and we bring our supply, and there's a corporate anointing. So when I was just sharing this little testimony, I remember all of you guys were so pulling the anointing out of me, you know, and that's what your guys' heart, it's this humility, it's this love that's in this place, and it pulls out the anointing. You guys are hungry. Hungry people, they're, you know, it's like, anything tastes good, you know what I mean? And it's like, you guys just pulled it out, and you guys were, so welcoming when I came here, just the whole time. Like, just, you guys had a real spirit of love here, and that's how churches grow, is when people come in and they feel welcome when they're strangers. And, you know, you guys are just, Terry, I remember we were talking, like, and just, you know, just connecting with people. So I just encourage you to do it and do it more, you know, welcoming people. And that's how I believe the church grows, is when we are just a family and we just love and we just desire the best for every person, and that we're praying for one another and encouraging each other. So I just really loved just coming here. You guys were the church that God led me to, and it was so cool, because I was just looking on the internet for churches, and there was just something about the words that you had on there, like your heart for the vision of this church, and I'm like, it just bared witness with my spirit. And then I found out that you are a church that is a word of faith church, which is my heart, because the Bible talks about the word of faith, which we preach, you know. It's Bible. It's not a doctrine. You know, it's not it's not a denomination. It's the Bible. It's Christianity. So it's just awesome. So I just wanted to thank you guys. And my name is Lynn. And, me and my husband is on the camera over there. Say hi to Robert. So Robert is amazing. He's probably, I always tell him, he's the biggest thing that I thank God for, because, you know, God, he doesn't just come out of the sky. Sometimes he works through people, and my husband is my best friend, and he is my biggest support, and he was there when I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't eat, and he would carry me, and he would feed me, and he's amazing. So I just love my husband, and we are anointed, because we're one flesh, yes. And I just love him, so I just honor him. And we've been married 14 years, praise God, and we just have a heart to just serve God, you know, and so it's just amazing. So there's a couple scriptures that I just wanted to share with you in when we were singing and you were encouraging us to just worship God. I just heard, like, You know, God is the Father of lights, you know, and he's the Father of lights. But what is he Father of? The lights. And Jesus said to us that we are the light of the world. You know, we are all lights as well. He's the Father of us. We are lights. And in Matthew 5, it says, you, Jesus said, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Also, another scripture that really stood out. See, because I don't like plan. I don't read scripture to preach it. I just read it because I love the word, and it's everything, and I just love to feed in the word. And these were just some scriptures that I just felt to share with you guys that bear witness with my spirit. In Philippians 2:14, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. So it's like, it's beautiful because the name of the church is Word of Life. And, you know, and it's cool because it talks about, so many times we think that we're going to shine because of all these things, but it's actually saying, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. So that's how we get to shine, is by, even by our words, what we're saying, and you know, people seeing us everywhere that we go, you know, that we do everything without complaining or arguing, and in that place we look different, we shine. And it says, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine like the stars in the sky, as you hold out firmly the word of life. I believe that's the word of God. You know, it's living and it's active. Jesus was the word. And in Philippians 1:3, this is kind of my prayer for you guys, is I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it into the day of completion, or carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit. I thank you that he's here, and that you're in the midst where two or more are gathered in your name. I just thank you, Lord, for your amazing presence. I thank you that when you are lifted up, Jesus, you draw all men into yourself. We give you praise and we thank you, Father. And I ask that you give me wisdom and discernment, and that you would guide my words and everything in all of us, and open our hearts to be open and receptive to your word, to your truth. And that, Father, that, like Jesus said, that the fruit would remain, Lord, that the fruit here today would remain, that it wouldn't just tickle ears or be inspiring, but it would inspire us to action. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to play a video. My husband does all these amazing videos. They're so anointed. And I think, how many of you saw my, I think Pastor Delson played a video last week. Yeah. Who saw that? A bunch of you guys. Awesome. So my husband made that video, and it's just so exciting because, you know, videos go where we don't go. They go beyond that, right? So it's such a blessing. And I want to show this video. It's kind of like a glimpse into my everyday life, the life that you guys didn't see. Because, you know, Jesus said when you go to pray, go behind closed doors. And what's done in secret, you know, will be rewarded openly. You know, what we do behind the closed doors, it's about our our integrity, our life lived behind closed doors, off of the pulpit when no one's looking, right? And so I just want to play this video about the life that you guys never got to see me. It was before my surgery, and I just want to share that and then go from there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. So I wanted to share that part of my life because I don't know if you noticed, but as I was doing 3 hours of medicine, that's how long it would take every day just to clear my lungs. I was living, since I was little, with a genetic disease called cystic fibrosis. So every day I had to clear my lungs of all this mucus and all this devilish symptoms, and I would be doing medication for 3 hours every day. But my question is if you're dealing with symptoms, what are you doing with your time? I would do 3 hours of medicine, and I would put the word in, because we become what we behold. If we are just watching TV all day and watching movies where everybody dies and all these things that is not the gospel, then it's going to feed our faith. And in the time where we go through the fire, that's what's going to come out of us. So I don't know it all, but all I can give is what I walked through, and what I've walked through is worked more than anything than being walking through supernatural recovery, and even recently having a divine healing was having supernatural peace. And the way that I had that peace was not because I was special, not because of anything about me, but it was because of putting the word in and taking the time to feed on the word. You know, Jesus said in his word, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me in the vine. No more can you do anything except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." So all of us are going to face trials. All of us. It says that the righteous will suffer persecution. It says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. But the how he delivers us is, but number one, by renewing our mind. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to know that it's God's will to heal, that he doesn't sometimes use sickness. God is not schizophrenic. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I wore oxygen and pulled tanks around like my sister, I knew that God was the healer. He was not using this to teach me a lesson. He wasn't using it to bring me closer to himself, but he was the one bringing me through the fire and I not being scorched. He was the one that made me more than an overcomer. My word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My word said that let the weak say, I am strong. And I believe that, and I said that. And even when I had 18% of my lung function, I was bike riding 2 kilometers, where my doctor said, most people with better lung function can't even wash their own hair. But that's because of the gospel. That's because of the word dwelling in me. And it wasn't because of anything given to me. It was spending time with Jesus. So I believe that our victory is based on our consistency. Coming to the word, hearing, coming to church on Sunday, fellowshipping, partaking of the giftings, you know, all the teaching gift, the evangelist gift, the apostle, all these different gifts that God gave to equip the church to do the works of the ministry. It's so important that we come together and fellowship and learn, and then also do what we learn and feed every day our spirits, not just once a week. Even, you know, it's too late if you have to feed your spirit when an attack comes. You need to be doing it daily so that when the attack comes, you get squeezed and Jesus comes out. You get squeezed and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So I just want to encourage you to get into Jesus more than ever, because when life comes, and it comes, we know what to say. When our friend is diagnosed with cancer, stage 4, we know what to say. We don't fear cancer, but we declare the name of Jesus is the big C that overcomes the little C. Christ is bigger than cancer. Jesus overcame the enemy. And so it's so important that we abide in the word. So the eye is the lamp of the body. So so many times people just want to get zapped. And there are miracles. There's the gifts of healings. There's all these ways that God can get healing to us. There's the laying on of hands. There's the anointing of oil. But it's so important because sometimes we want to be zapped and just have this instantaneous thing. But my breakthrough for me, I had so many people pray for me. I had like Danielle Kalenda, Todd White. I had all these amazing men of God pray for me. But where I got the victory was feeding my faith. Where I got the victory when no one was looking and there was no music, no one leading me in worship, it was worshiping him when no one was watching. It was in those nights in the hospital when I would raise my hands and I go, I stand and I worship you with my heart open to you, Father. I stand with my heart and I worship you from a place of victory, from a place of knowing that I'm more than an overcomer, from a place of knowing that you're not the author of this sickness. And that's where my spirit man would grow and be strengthened. And then I would be able to walk through the greatest fear of my life and have an amazing testimony out of it because God was with me. So it's so important that we're feeding our faith. In Proverbs 17:24, well, actually, I wanted to say this. So this was a big revelation that I learned from Brother Keith Moore, was it's not according to what God can do. You know, the things that we're believing for, you know, like that, whether it's finances, a new job, maybe it's healing for our bodies. It's not according to what God can do because he's already paid for healing. He's already paid the price. He's already El Shaddai. But it's according to what we can believe him to do. What can we believe God to do? And for me, I was believing for these brand new lungs, and I was standing and I was feeding, and many people receive instant miracles. Many people, like Kenneth E. Hagin, he was raised off his deathbed. He believed the word, and he had received a miracle with no natural help, and it was one of the most powerful testimonies I ever heard. And I was, but it's not according to what brother so-and-so did or what sister so-and-so did or what she did, or even if that person had a surgery and it went really well, it's not about their testimony. It was so important for me to learn in my faith walk, what is God telling me to do? What is the Holy Spirit leading me to do? As I feed on the word, where's the witness? Where's that life? And for me, I felt like God told me the scripture in Proverbs 17:24 that he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless things lacks common sense and good judgment. In the New Living Translation, it says, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. So a fool is looking way ahead where a wise person is looking at what they have now. So like, if you don't start where you are, you stay where you are. And God, one of the biggest things that I had to learn about how I got this victory was to humble myself. To humble myself and go, God, I know this happened and this miracle and that, but where is my faith at? Jesus didn't commend the woman that was healed with the issue of blood and said, my faith made you well, or my power healed you, although power was flowing out of him. What it was is Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you well. It was her faith. And so there's so many ways to be healed, but for my testimony, God taught me about feeding in the word and building my faith and then listening to the Holy Spirit. What is he leading you to do? Because everything that we do, we have faith in. If we believe that our doctors are hurting us, then we will have what we believe. If we believe that, you know, our medication is hurting us, if you're on medication, then you will have what you believe. Because Jesus said, whoever shall say into this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes those things which they say, they will have whatever they say. So God started teaching me about faith, and it's easier sometimes to believe God in steps for me, because God was teaching me to believe him in steps. I was believing that I would not die and that I would live and declare the works of God. And today is a fulfillment of that. I am declaring the works of God today. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, don't belittle what God is doing for you, even if it's a surgery. Even if it's going, it's wherever your faith is at. It's where's your peace? Where's the witness? If you have a red light not to go to the doctor, then don't go. But for me, I was going, God, I'm believing that you're going to get my doctor's wisdom. from heaven in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that they know what to do. And in 2010, they started talking to me about getting a double lung transplant. They usually start talking to you about that when your lungs are below 30%. And my lungs were at, I think, 20%. And I didn't have it in my heart. I was like, no, I believe in divine healing. I know that God heals. I just don't believe I'll need a transplant. But thank you, doctors. I pray for you. I bless you. But thank you so much. But then when God spoke to me about that scripture, about what's in your hand now, God gave Moses a stick. And he said, stretch it forth. The Red Sea was open. And God started talking to me about humility. And he started talking to me about, what can you believe me to do? Let's start believing and put our faith that this transplant will be supernatural. Let's start putting our faith that you'll have supernatural recovery. Let's believe that God will give glory to himself through it. Let's believe that God will guide the hands of the physicians. Let's believe that your doctrine is to live and not die. So whatever it takes, because I'm called to be here on this earth and glorify my Father in heaven. So when my lungs were at 18%, even in that place, I was believing God and my faith was working. I was, like I said, bike riding 2 kilometers. And I think I have a photo of that. My husband, he jerry-rigged it so that we could have, like, basically his bike carrying all my heavy tanks. And there would be like this curly oxygen tube that would go to me. And basically I would bike 2 kilometers with all this oxygen in. But it was my faith. Faith is an action. And I began to walk by faith and not by sight. And so as you can see, that hose there is my oxygen that was hooked to me. And that bike that I'm actually holding is my husband's. You can see my tank hanging out there. And that was with 18% lung function. God was meeting me where my faith was at. You know, God's already done everything. He's never the one holding anything back. It's us that holds God back. You know, there's also the thief that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But God is always on our side. And he is tattooed that in my heart. He's branded that in my heart, that he is on my side. Especially when you go through the fire and you see it. So, yeah, don't overlook the supernatural. Seeking the spectacular. Sometimes we expect, you know, like, just all of a sudden, like, this flash of lightning to come and just all of a sudden manna to fall out of heaven. That happens. Those are miracles. You know, things happen like that. But sometimes we overlook the supernatural. The fact that I was bike riding 2 kilometers with 18% lung function, and my doctor, who's not a Christian, saying, you are, his word, amazingly resilient. That was Jesus. And that was supernatural. And also, it's so important that we don't feel shame. You know, a lot of times we walk in faith or foolishness or presumption. There's different things, right? And you know, to never feel shame. You know, if, like, you know, shame that you went to see the doctor. They're just like, I love what Kenneth Hagin said. They're just a natural helps ministry to God. They're only sustaining people naturally and helping treat the symptoms. And sometimes they can, you know, help things. They cured polio with the polio vaccine. Praise God, you know. Praise God for a lot of these things. I thank God because a lot of the medications, you know, I wouldn't be alive today if a lot of the innovations hadn't been made. When I was born, the doctors told my mom I probably wouldn't live past the age of 4. But because of God-given doctors, you know, they came up with things like pancreatic enzymes that help me digest fat. People with CF used to die of malnourishment. So I'm thankful, but I'm thankful that I know the great physician and that he guides the under physicians, that he's Jehovah Rapha. He still does miracles. He still does healings. And he's working through every avenue because he so loved the world that he gave. He's still giving. Anything that gives life and life abundantly is not of the devil. But they're just like there's preachers that aren't of God, but that doesn't mean preachers aren't used of God that aren't of God. Just like doctors, you know, if we have a peace, then we gotta believe God and pray for them and thank them for their time. But then we go behind the scenes and do what we know to do, which is speak to the root in Jesus' name. So faith is sometimes easier in steps for me. And so I began to believe that everything would go supernatural. I began to do this workup for the transplant. I'm doing all this blood work and all these tests. And basically, someone told me that the hardest part about doing a lung transplant was waiting. Was she said she was so anxious, so in fear, just waiting and waiting. And most people get their transplant in a year. I was on the transplant list for 3 years. And to me, it was so awesome because more than the supernatural recovery and all these things was having the peace of God, was going to bed every night, able to sleep like a baby. And like my husband said the other day, and sleep so much longer than you needed to sleep. But you know, I had the peace of God in me, and I wasn't focused on the transplant. It wasn't my savior. Jesus Christ is my savior. But sometimes he leads us to do things. Go here, listen to this message, start speaking this over your body. And so I would just feed on the word, and he kept my peace. My mind, it says our mind is steadfast. To keep it stayed, like let the peace of God rule in our heart and take every thought captive. So for 3 years, there were the thoughts that would come. They still come. The anxiety still tries to come. The enemy is still on the outside trying to get in with thoughts of worry. Like this transplant, you might not even make it through. You might not even, your lungs are at 18%. You know, like all these thoughts would come. You know, you need to gain weight. I was like about 40 pounds lighter than I am now. And God even sustained my weight. I didn't lose any weight in the hospital, which was amazing. And there's all these thoughts that come. But just because the thoughts come, that doesn't mean those are our thoughts. And so for 3 years, I would feed on the word of God. And I believe the key to my victory, my testimony, was feeding in the word. Because Jesus is the word. It's not what we do that gives us victory. It's who he is and what his word promises. And believing, like Pastor was saying, the simplicity of the gospel. Believing that by his stripes I'm healed, and I don't understand these symptoms, but they're not of God, and I resist them, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to believe God in the midst of this and praise him. So yeah, I began to do all the workup, all the stuff. I got called in 5 times for this transplant. One time my husband was working, he was away, and they're like, we have some organs for you, and it ended up being they were too big, and I'm like, well, that's okay. Every time I was okay because I knew God is on the throne. He goes before me. He's my rear guard. He's everywhere. He's in me, on me, and around me everywhere that I go. And I had supernatural peace, and it was another testimony because most people deal with all this anxiety, but I literally was like, I got called like a total of 5 times, and every time that it didn't work out, like they'd fly me there. And they're like, these organs are too damaged. And I was actually like, awesome. I'm just going to keep believing in God for these old lungs. Either way, I'm a victor. I'm a victor. I was never the victim. And I want you guys to know today that you are never the victim. You are the victor because you know Jesus. He is our victory. Jesus is my victory. No matter what's raging all around you, he is our victory in the midst of the fire. He is that fourth man. He is the greater one, lives on the inside of us, and he quickens our mortal bodies. So he was with me, and I never had the thoughts would come, but he gave me peace through everything. And then, like I said, sharing about the peace. You know, Jesus said that we'll have peace like a river. And, you know, that river is not just for us. That river that's flowing out of us is to give life and green trees and living plants to others around us. And so a lot of times when we go through hard things, we think, oh, now's the time to, you know, get selfish. Like, come on, I'm in the hospital. I'm getting transferred to do a transplant. Like, now is not the time to, like, you know, shine as a light. No, that is the exact time when we shine the brightest. Because it says that light shines the brightest in darkness. God spoke the light and then darkness flees. It can't stay where light is, and light is in us. We don't have like bright, dim, and low light. We are light. Jesus said, you are light. You are the light of the world. So as I was going through this, and they would call me and they would come to my house and quickly rush me off to Vancouver, it was amazing how the peace of God flowed out of me like a river of water. And, excuse me, it was just so powerful to see how the joy of the Lord is our strength and that he wants us, like, we're not created to be selfish. We're not created to keep the life of God in us. We're not created to keep that water stocked up on the inside because then it comes dead and lifeless. and things can't grow in a pond, but things live in a river. And so I just remember, for me, it was amazing because you get to find out what your faith is made of when you go through the battle. You know, I used to think, Lord, why am I going through a battle? I thought I'm in faith, and I used to get discouraged. But the revelation I got was, no, this is the very time to have faith. When I'm wearing the oxygen, when the symptoms are ravaging my body, when the report says you're fired and you've been there for 20 years and you don't know what else you're going to do, that's the very time to have faith. When your child calls and says, Mom, I'm done with God, that's the very time to have faith and rejoice. That's the very time to find out what you believe. And if you've been putting it in, it will come out. And so it was so beautiful to see the Holy Spirit show up in that ambulance as they're driving me to the transplant. And this driver, he was an ambulance driver for 40 years. And I heard in my heart that he had a pain in his back. And it was so amazing because, like I said, light shines the brightest in darkness. And he let me pray for his back. Jesus healed his back. I'm on the way to go do like the thing that was the biggest fear of my life. But God's grace was sufficient. And he ended up giving his life to Jesus that night in that ambulance room. That's how good God is. Because it says that God prepares a table in the midst of our enemy, in the very midst. He makes a table and says, now is a good time to eat, daughter. Let's eat because it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm on your side. Even though you're going through this thing you've never been through and you may not even understand what it's going to be like, but this is where I'm at. I love people, and it's not even about what you're going through. It's about what Jesus went through on the cross, and he wants that to be so much more real than what we're going through. So yeah, that was such a blessing. He was just like, he's like, in my 40 years of ambulance driving, I've never met someone like you. And that's what people will say about us. It's not because I'm a bubbly personality. It's because Jesus lives in me. And we want to allow our passion to affect our personality. Not our personality to affect our passion, but Jesus to affect our personality. It looks different on different people, but it has the same spirit, and it's love. You sense it. And so, yes, amen. So it's just powerful. You know, minutes before being rolled into my transplant, I just remember praying for my nurses. I remember sharing the testimony of God, you know, just to the anesthesiologist and how it's a miracle that I'm alive. Even when I was 12, doctors thought I was going to die. I had 1 week to live, but God. And I cried out to him, and he heard me. And I just remember praying for my nurse and feel like, is there anything I can pray? Praying for her healing as I'm being wheeled into this transplant. And that's the same grace that's in us. And no matter what we're going through, that we can literally reach out. It's just the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit. So everything I prayed for, like I said, came to pass. So we prayed that God's glory would be in that OR room. I have just an amazing friend. His name is Todd. And he couldn't be in Canada with me, but he prayed for me right as I was being wheeled in. This is a preacher that travels all over the world. But you know what? Real friends are there for you in the fire, not just to celebrate the victory after. And I just remember Todd was praying, you know, just that God's glory would be in that OR room and just that he would guide the hands of the physicians and that this transplant would go down in history for what God does, how God's hand can be on something. It's like we sang, every good gift comes from above. And so this photo here was the first, one of the first things that I wrote when I came out. I was the first thing, it looks crazy, but on the inside, it says, thank you, Brother Todd. God's presence is in that OR room. Glory to God, my healer. And that was literally what I believed coming out of there. Even though it looks, the enemy's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But God's peace and his presence, and actually the headphones that I'm wearing, I'm listening to worship. I'm listening to anointed music. I'm listening to the word of God constantly, always going in my ear gates. Because it's just, what are we allowing in? Our ear gates, our eye gates. What are we saying? It's so important that we're putting the word in. And it was just so amazing how God's glory was literally in that OR room. I went in at 2 a.m. in the morning, and they called my husband at 5 and said, we're all done. Normally, a double lung transplant takes 6 to 11 hours long. It only took them 3 hours to do a double lung transplant. I found out later that there was a nurse. Her name was Angel. And this is God, because he's always sending people, right? A lot of times we're those people that God is sending. But there was a nurse called Angel that worked. She worked all day long. And, you know, as a nurse, you're on your feet all day, you're tired. But she just wanted to see a double lung transplant. So she felt to go and to be in that surgery room. And she said to me after that, she was praying for me. So God had even people in that actual OR room, even my friend Todd couldn't be there physically. He had someone in there. And, you know, there are things that you're going through that God is sending people to be there at the right time with the right word. And he'll use anybody that will believe, anyone that will pray out to God. When we see a car accident, you know, we pray for what's going on, because God will use those prayers. He needs us to declare a thing and it shall be established. So, yeah, she was praying for me, and it was a supernatural surgery. The surgeon assistant said it went perfect. Doctors don't lie. They don't exaggerate. They don't spectacularize testimonies. That's why we got to be very honest, because God can anoint the honest, the truth. And I loved it, because the assistant surgeon was like, everything went perfect. It went perfect, and it was God. And I remember he was like, I'm like, God bless you. And he's just like, yes, thank you, you know? And he was just like, you know? So it's like it encourages other people that are in that medical realm how God is real and how good he is. And then I went, basically the ICU, the intensive care unit, usually you're in there for 3 days to a week, sometimes a month, sometimes a year if there's complications. But I was only in ICU, needed to be in there for 1 day. And I was already walking. I walked back and forth with all the chest tubes in. And it was supernatural, because that's what we prayed. And remember us saying how God is according to what we can believe him to do. And he will meet us there exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think or imagine. So I just thanked God for just everything. And so then, yeah, I was in ICU. It was literally like a victory parade as they wheeled me out of ICU. They were like, they couldn't find me a bed quick enough, so I had to stay in there 2 days. And they were literally like, I had nurses all around me, and they were like, double lung, day two, double lung, day two. And it was to the glory of God. So it was like a victory parade. And I just remember, yeah, just sharing with my nurses, just praying for my nurses, even if they had sore feet. I just wanted to get my hands on people and pray for them, because I believe that the greater one lives on me. And it's just him living in us. In 1 Peter 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, no matter what we're going through, we can take the enemy and rub his nose in it. We can make him wish he never touched us by shining our light, because the greater one lives on the inside of us, and he always causes us to triumph. So what you say is your faith speaking. So if you say, you know, I'm this old and my memory's this, no, you will have what you say. And it's so important. That was so important, and it still is to me today, is I always said I was strong, and I was strong. And it's so important that we say what God says, and he will do what we say if it's his word. And actually, the children of Israel, they said that we can't enter. They're giants before us. We're grasshoppers. And because of what they said, they didn't get to enter the promised land. So it's so important that we say what God says, because if we end up saying, like the children of Israel, what the enemy's saying, then it gives the enemy a legal right to do what we're saying. So it's so important to be like, no, I will enter the promised land in Jesus' name. No, I call my lungs strong in Jesus' name. I declare I will not die, but live and declare the works of God. Thank you, Father. I call my family saved, that the eyes of their understanding are open. Thank you, Father, that my workplace sees Jesus in me and that I'm sowing seeds. That's what you encouraged me. Lynn, keep doing it. You're sowing seeds. People might blink at you and wink and kind of not understand, but there's seeds being sown. We are always sowing seeds. If it's attached to Jesus, you know, his love never fails. And even whether they understand in their head or not, his love never fails. Faith is potent and it works. So Mark 11:23 says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So I said, speedy recovery. And I had speedy recovery. I said, I'm strong. Before the transplant, I was strong. I said that I'm healed, and I prayed for the sick. It was my act of faith, not to get healed, but because I was healed. And I prayed that I had wisdom, according to James 1:5, that I have wisdom what to do. Do I do a transplant? Do I not? Is this the right one? Is this not the right one? And I would always say, when they'd call me, hey, we have lungs for you, I would go, I'll call you back. And I would talk to God, are these the ones? And then when I got that, you know, there was one time I said, no, I just, you're not really allowed to, but I said, I'm not going on the transplant list unless I have that, if I'm able to make that decision. And so even, oh yeah, and I was sharing about the children of Israel. So I was always saying, ever since they did the surgery, I said, my medication is working supernaturally with no bad side effects in Jesus' name. And I said that over and over. I declared it even before with cystic fibrosis. I took all this medication, and even to this day, my kidneys are strong. They are healed. My heart is strong. Every part of me is strong, but it's been a fight. It's over. It's not just you put your feet up and you've won the battle, and now we just, you know, just hang out and just chill. But no, it's a constant fight. It says fight, the good fight of faith. Having done all to stand, stand. And it says to, you know, our faith is what we say and to declare a thing. So, you know, it's a constant fight. Even after my transplant, I was still speaking. In Proverbs 18, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so it's so important that we declare that. And I would say I'm healed. I'm called to shine and be a light, bringing healing to others. And believers lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's why, sister, you are recovering right now. You feel it in your lungs right now. The life of God is working in your body because God is the healer. He already paid for healing. We just get to release it. And I'd say that Jesus even said that greater works than him will we do. And that's what we're called to. So I would be in the hospital, like, before my transplant, like, 1 to 5 times a year getting antibiotic treatment for my old lungs, and I'd spend 2 weeks to 4 weeks in the hospital. And I remember back in 2016, my husband was going to Europe. I wasn't allowed to come because I had to wear oxygen. And I was like, and this is how we need to be when an attack comes. I was like, you know what, devil? If I'm going in the hospital, I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ. My room, my hospital room, is going to be a place of glory, a place of revival. What the enemy tried to do to break me, God is using to make me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And so I'm in this hospital room for 3 weeks, and I remember, I think there was like, 86 people were touched in that three-week period. I shared Jesus like every time, and it's not hard, it's just easy, because when you're in love with somebody, it's not hard to share. Yeah. When someone's done that much for us, without even healing and all the things on earth that he's done, but he died for us. He is so worthy to talk about. He's all I want to talk about. That's why I'm so excited I get to talk about him today. And it's just amazing. There was 12 people that were healed in that hospital where I saw the manifestation of healing come. There were 8 people that gave their life to Jesus in that hospital. There was a Muslim, there was Muslims, in people that weren't even raised Christian, atheists, physio, like my physio that was like going through a divorce. I got to speak a word in season, because we are always in season. Love is always a word in season. You don't need to have a word of knowledge. You just need to share the love of God, and God will always confirm his word with signs following. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, even when you're in the midst of darkness, we can shine as lights. And it was just amazing. My one nurse, I remember I had a word of knowledge about her back. I just heard it. It just came as a thought, you know. And how do you know if it's true unless you give it? So I just said, I heard in my heart really strong that your lower back has pain. And she's like, it does. And I said, well, here, pass me one of the gloves. So I had to, because I wasn't allowed to touch the nurses. I was like on sterilization. They can't. And so I put my glove on, and I laid my hands on her, and I prayed for her. And she felt healing in her back, so much so that she went out and told another nurse that came in and got prayer for her knees. She felt cool sensation up her knees, and she felt goosebumps. A lot of times people sense the Holy Spirit as goosebumps. I barely ever feel anything because I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by the Word. I'm moved by faith, by Jesus, right? And sometimes He'll let us feel some things, but it's always a faith thing. Faith is what pleases God. And so it was just amazing how God showed up in that hospital. Praise God. So, yeah, that's all, folks. No, just kidding. I just had that in my heart, and yeah, I'm just really excited for tonight because it's always the Holy Spirit service in this place because freedom reigns in this place. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Bless you. Yeah.